Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Best Show Ever podcast, a podcast where I interview folks about the best concerts they ever saw in their lives. I'm your host, Cam Hurt, and this is a pretty great week for Goose fans. If you are a fan of Goose, we have got good content for you this week. This episode is with a good buddy of mine who has entrenched himself within the Goose community through working with the radio station WTED. But he really is truly just a good buddy of mine. This is Brett Duncan on the podcast this week. Brett is a fixture on Jam Band Twitter. You can find him at Grateful. It's like Grateful Goose and Gizzards and Biscuits and 10 other bands is his name or something. But his real life name is Brett Duncan. He has become involved with the WTED radio faction, which is a community-sourced radio station, community-based radio station for Goose specifically. They're spinning a bunch of great Goose shows, doing cool stuff around the Jam of the Year stuff, always having little themes of Goose stuff to listen to, and they'll have commentary. They do a lot on that station. So if you're not aware of WTED yet and you are a Goose fan, that is something that you should be checking out for sure. Brett is a Southern California dude. We have met out here through going to jam band shows. Met Brett at a Dogs in a Pile show, at the Mint like a year ago, almost at this point. And we ended up seeing a bunch of shows together after that. Him and I went to King Giz together. I stayed with him and his mom and dad in San Francisco in a hotel room after I got to go to the Saturday Dead & Co show at Oracle. I hit him up at like 4 p.m. I was like, can I stay at your hotel room? He's like, it's going to be with my mom and dad too. So that's what we did. We talk about Brett's dad on this episode, who is with him at almost every show that he's at. Like I said, in previous episodes, I don't think I can get through many episodes of this podcast without talking about people's dads or seeing a show with your dad. It just comes up far too often. Brett's dad is a great guy. You can see both these dudes at shows if you're in Southern California. Brett is like 6'7" or something. He's like super tall. And his dad's usually right next to him. And they're just jamming out. Just good music fans. And we get to talk about some of the shows that Brett's gone to. And we talk about, you know, some of the shows that him and his dad have gone to. I also, you know, I just shouted out WTED Radio. That's one of the shout outs I want to do this week. Absolutely go check them out and the work that they're doing. Brett is a guy who's on Jam Band Twitter, and he provides some levity on there. He also likes to stir the pot. Let's be honest. Brett's a little pot stirrer on there on Jam Band Twitter. Something that I try not to interact with too much is X or Twitter. I kind of just try to drop a video in there and get the fuck out. But an account that I want to kind of shed a little light on and one that I think is doing very cool and positive things on Jam Band Twitter is Roman. At Riverport Gin is the account name. And Roman is just is a younger fan in college, I believe, right now. And they've dedicated their Twitter to kind of, I don't know if this was an intentional choice by them or not, but cataloging the beginning of their fandom in fish. I know we're talking a lot about Goose this week, but it has been, it's really fun to watch this person get into fish. And then they'll just kind of like live tweet react like some of the most monumental shows. Like all of a sudden they'll just be like, I'm listening through to Hampton 97 today. And it's like, you just get the first thoughts of someone listening to, I mean, I've, you know, fish fans have listened through that show 10,000 times. You can't possibly get back to your first reaction of it. So it's cool to watch that kind of happen. Roman is going to go to their first shows this summer. And I think, yeah, just getting reactions to that, like just like feeling what it's like to have first gotten into something, whether you're a fish fan or not. If even if you're not into fish yet, I think it's a fun account to follow because, you know, at that point, then you've got like a buddy that you're going along with, going through all the shows. And honestly, the shows that Roman is listening to are great ones to start with. So I know this week is all about Goose. I know this week is all about, those boys. But I do think Roman's doing some cool stuff. Follow Riverport Gin. And yeah, if you're going to enter yourself into some Jam Band Twitter, try to do it positively. Let's keep the goofs rolling on social media and not so much of the trolling and the gatekeeping. But enough of that. Let's get to this episode that I've got with Brett here. Sit back, relax, enjoy this conversation that I have with my good buddy Brett Duncan. But first, here's a little bit of music from the band Loom with the song "What I Mean."
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends, Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
That'd be fine. It'd be fine if you were drinking a little bit, but this just, it'd be funny to watch the arc of the episode. You get like a half hour in, you're like, and the other thing.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Now, I got like minor altitude sickness about 2 hours ago. So,
oh, no. Are you good?
Just fighting that off.
Are you okay?
Oh yeah, we're good. I had a little pen rip, a little something with caffeine, and a little bit of this fucking drip drop. Tastes like garbage, by the way, but you know, gets the job done.
You had to consult Dr. Benjamin, of course.
Dr. Benjamin,
of course. You don't have any WTED duties while you're on the road. You don't have to do anything.
Not while I'm on the road, because one of our other guys is also on the road right now. Kyle, he's in Vegas right now. And I think last night, the night before, I know for a fact he went like live, was doing, you know, on air. He brought his microphone with him in his hotel room, and he was like hanging out in the chat, you know, chatting. And then between every like two or three songs, he'd come on and say something. And I think he did it last night too. And he's planning to do it a couple more nights. So, yeah,
man, because it's a nonstop thing. I mean, you got to keep it going. You can't just like have days off and stuff, you know.
Exactly.
Man, that's crazy. you're on the Ryan Storm work ethic mode where you're just popping up in small hotel rooms and stuff, running your show.
Oh yeah.
how did that all materialize? How did that all get started?
Yeah, so like Kyle had originally started WTED for the first time in 2021 during the pandemic, trying to like, you know, get people together and you know, just create a community radio like we have now. But back then he didn't have the same like support that he does now. He tried to do it all by himself, and it just I don't want to say in over his head, but it was just like too much. It wasn't getting enough attention, so the project kind of got scrapped for a while. And then this past summer, like I think it was around July, it was like I think he started the Wisteria Lane community, or started thinking up the idea, like actually, you know, putting it together with people, I think like mid June of 23. And he had also talked about possibly bringing back WTED, and that got, you know, more attention than the Wisteria Lane community thing. And him and I had like a bit of a relationship before that. He used to like have a very select group of people that he would share every like Goose soundboard with through, you know, like a Google Drive alternative type thing.
You guys weren't tapes.
What's that?
You guys weren't trading tapes.
It wasn't. It was essentially the modern version of trading tapes.
Yeah, right.
Trading FLAC files.
Yeah, it was WeTransfer.
Download a zip file, all that crap. But anyway, him and I had like connected through that, because I think it was like March of 23, I put together a 2022 Jam of the Year jam compilation video. It was like 7 hours. It was every single song in the Jam of the Year bracket, minus a few that I was just really mad at. Like I didn't put the actual Jam of the Year, the Raleigh Modavon, because like that pissed me off so much that won.
it's getting more serious than March Madness. Like I kind of like have to stay off of it. I can't even put my hand in it at all, because it's so, you're either all in or all out on the Jam of the Year stuff.
Oh yeah. Especially this year, people are getting crazy on Twitter. It's
yeah. It is. Well, it was a big year. It was like a really, really big year with a lot of big jams. So, and people went to stuff, and they're like going to bat for the thing that they went for, and you know.
Oh, totally. I'm just waiting for when we finally get the Goose version of 1989 was a great year for the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Great year for the Jerry was lucid and creative. Somebody needs to like alter that. So it's like, 2023 was a great year for the Goose.
Jeff was lucid and creative.
Definitely not high as fuck during
every show. He wasn't blazed as fuck hitting that gong every show. No, he was. Jeff. We were too.
The flight over here, I flew United, and they have Capitol Theater Night 4 on their like video thing.
Nice.
And I was watching like they during SOS, like the part right before Dawn, where like it's like you know, they had like Jeff. It was a close up of Jeff hitting the gong like every time. It was like the bing, 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 and like he was just so fucking baked. It was
yeah. Yeah, my brother and my buddy who I see all my fish shows with, Willie, got to see him in Milwaukee for that Miller High Life theater show, and they were like drinking
Miller Lite High Life 40s on stage, and Jeff was like smoking during the Doobie song, and like weed is still very not cool in Wisconsin, so people were just like like loving it so much, dude. It's sick. Yeah, it was a big year for Goose, so it's hotly debated stuff.
Oh yeah, lots of opinions, lots of fiery opinions.
What's your jam of the year? And this will probably come down. This will come out when everything's cooled down a little bit.
Oh, you know, perfect.
When things have kind of chilled out, you know.
My jam of the year is Spactory Fiction.
Wow!
Like when they that last like 5-7 minutes or whatever, right before, you know, right when you think, oh, they're gonna cut it because they ran out of time for the encore or whatever, and they just whip up a second jam. They go back into the intro riff, and it's just like, oh fuck, okay, they're paying a fine for this jam.
Yeah, you gotta love that when you know that kind of stuff. It's like sweet, makes extra sweet. Well, before the Wiltern show, remember I was like, we had to split up because we were in different areas, and then I was like, hey man, enjoy the Factory Fiction, and you were like, no, what? I was like, what? And you're like, no, it's not gonna fucking happen. Then we got a really sweet show anyway, and that did not happen, but it was a really sweet show.
Oh yeah, we didn't get a Factory Fiction, but we got like a Factory Fiction effort level from the band.
Yeah, we got like a perfect show in my mind. Like the first and second set of the Wiltern is just like, if I typed into AI like Tam's perfect little goose show, and it's just like, yep, it's a perfectly placed this old sea. You're going to get a Hollywood Nights in LA. They're going to open the second set with Empress and close it with Thatch. Like
fucking magic carpet ride. Like,
yep.
Oh, you got the poster right behind your head.
Boom, baby.
Ba ba boom.
Yep. I'm not a poster guy, but I was just talking to Naveed and I was like, I'm going to get the poster.
You had like, you were on the list for that show.
Yeah, baby. I remember
getting like that text from you like 2 or 3 weeks before the show. You're like, oh yeah, so those tickets that you have for me, like, I don't need those.
Well, little plug for season 1, I did interview Jeffy, and he was very kind and was cool and put me and Jess on the guest list for Wiltern and Santa Barbara. So very cool of Jeffy. And yeah, I got to be in a special little section where no one was really dancing. It was cool to like be like in an area where there like was less people because you had like a little more room. But like, you know,
then you're the only one dancing around those people. Yeah, it's
like the beginning of Empress starts. It's like ban it. I'm like, oh, like freaking out, and like everyone's just kind of like getting out of my way a little bit because I'm excited. I'm like, what?
How are you not excited?
What am I supposed to get excited at then?
Oh my God. Wasn't Joel from Umphrey's in that same like VIP section there? Yeah, he was probably like sitting there with his arms crossed during that Empress jam. Me and Jake did it better.
Yeah. They could use a little help from me.
I gave him
that is a really good version of Empress though. They did fucking lay that down. It was sweet.
I remember before the show or a set break or something, I went over and gave Joel like a W Ted sticker. He was not happy that I interrupted his conversation to give him a sticker. He like gave me a face. He's like, thank you. It's like, okay, sorry, bro. Sorry that one person recognized you here.
It'd be so funny if he did the opposite though. He's like, whoa, what? Really? For me? Really? No. I couldn't possibly.
For free? You have to pay for these.
Can I put this on a water bottle?
No.
Yeah. No, you can't. For those of you listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, he just showed me his water bottle that has a WTED sticker on it. So yeah, it's pretty sick.
It's all Goose stickers on this water bottle.
Yeah, man, you're all in.
I left my water bottle at work last week, and one of the security guard, I had like missed a day too, and so when I came back, one of the security guards is like, "Hey, Brett, your water bottle is the one with like all the goose shit over it, right?"
Like, there's not another thing on it. There's not another type of anything. It's just all goose. That's you, right?
All goose.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Fuck every other band.
Right? Fuck the Disco Biscuits.
Yeah. Also, are we going to that?
In a pile.
Yeah, fuck Dogs in a Pile. Also, those, we're going to those shows together, right?
Yes. Disco Biscuits.
It has been sick to be able to see shows with you, because a lot of my buddies here in LA, my comedy buddies, they just don't see jam stuff. And it was that Dogs in a Pile show where you were like, "What's up, dude? We're hanging."
Yeah, I just remember, like, I tried to get out of that conversation, or I like tried to go like back to my dad, and you're like, "Why don't you just like chill here?"
Trying to get out of the conversation. Trying to get out of the conversation.
Not like get out of the conversation. It's like more like my social anxiety was just like, okay, you've talked to this person. Now it's time to not talk to this person.
No, that's a good thing to have. Not everybody has that.
No, but I was so glad. Like when you said, "No, just stay here." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then, then I realized, oh, wait, he's not like the persona that's in his videos that I've only seen him in. He's like a normal person. Yeah.
That's just a guy. Yeah. That's just a guy. I pull up to the Dogs in a Pile show. I'm like, "This guy's fucking suck, dude."
Really? Like, what are you doing? You're dancing to this? It's like not even type two, bro.
Yeah, it's two guitars, but it's not type two. So, no, those guys fucking rip. That show was awesome. We had a great time. And yeah, you've. We've gotten to see some sick shows together, and we're gonna talk about maybe some of those shows. I don't know if I've been at any of those shows with you, but before we get into your best show ever and, you know, your honorable mentions and stuff, do you have what's the first concert you ever saw in your life?
First concert I ever saw in my life was, I was 8 years old. It was my like third grade open house. And my dad pulls me out of that early. We go see REM at the Hollywood Bowl.
Sick. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know a single REM song. I was just, you know, my dad started to see that I was like interested in music and like listening to some of the music that he list. Like I would attentively listen when he would listen to music. And he's like, "Oh, okay. You know, try taking this guy to a concert." It was a fucking great time. I don't remember a single thing from it because it was, you know, so long ago. No, the blacko drunk.
Yeah, you just got so fucking blazed, dude.
No, but like the one thing I remember from that show was like there were like three songs in a row where he was like, "Okay, if the next song is a shitty song, I'm gonna go to the bathroom." And like the next three songs were like good songs, and then he finally got his pee song.
Yeah. So you learned immediately about when and when not to go to the bathroom during concerts. You can't just be getting up and going.
Exactly. Got to know your bathroom time choosing etiquette.
That's right. And your dad is a guy who's been along for the ride for a lot of our journeys together here in SoCal. He's a big concert goer and a big Deadhead. Was he introducing you to dead stuff right away, or was it just kind of like, that was a slow burn with the Dead stuff? Or
so the Dead stuff, I actually like kind of found them out on my own. Like I knew that he was a Dead fan and had seen Jerry. He took,
which he brings up. He will bring that up whenever we see him.
And there's he has a stadium chair from Anaheim Stadium that was there when the Grateful Dead played there. And so whenever I'm like pissing him off in the garage, he'll go, "You know, that chair over there saw Jerry more than you did." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. That hurts."
That's enough. It does hurt. That's a good burn.
But our first like Dead thing that we did together was he took me to the, what did they call it? Fare Thee Well in San Francisco.
Yeah.
we went to, I think it was the third night of that. The day before, he took me to, what was this festival called? It was like some metal festival. Oh, it was called Mayhem. And like Slayer was playing and, you know, all these like crazy metal bands. And so it was like those 2 days of that weekend was basically like our contrasting music tastes at the time. I was a big metalhead, didn't really get, you know, jam bands or rock or anything like that. And he was a big jam band, rock guy, didn't really get the metal stuff. Now we've like, since then we've, you know, totally merged. We're like basically into everything. We've gotten to the point where it's like, oh, genre doesn't really matter. It's all that matters is this unique from somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once I, the way I discovered the Dead, like the way I became a Deadhead was I was driving back from Coachella in 2018, driving back up to San Luis Obispo. I was going to school and I decided, you know what? I need some new music. I'm going to listen to Europe 72. And I rolled a blunt in the McDonald's parking lot.
and away you went.
Put on Cumberland Blues. And I was like, after the first minute, I was like, this is the Grateful Dead? I thought it was like boring as shit. And from that moment, I was hooked. I think that day I listened to Europe 72 twice, Cornell 77, and whatever that 77 show that they have on Spotify is that has like the Terrapin logo on it.
By the time you got back to San Luis Obispo, you had a beard and your hair was long and you had a tie-dye on and your shoes had turned into sandals.
It smelled like patchouli.
Yeah. Like, dude, that was a heady ride home. That's sick. And then so, you know, then did you get into like, you asked your dad about seeing them or, you know?
Yeah. Like I told him like, oh, like I finally got into the Grateful Dead. Like I love this shit. And then I think it right around the time I got into them, like a few months after that, they were playing or Dead & Company was playing at Shoreline. Mm-hmm. And that was like my first concert that I like, left, like I did all the planning on my own. I booked my own hotel room, drove myself, you know, did all this crap. I mean, my parents paid for all of it, but
yeah. But I fucking planned it, dude.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, if you do the planning, like we'll buy you a hotel room. Like go see Dead & Company.
Wow, that's like, cool, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Props.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. And that relationship talking with your dad about music is like, you know, it comes up on almost every episode of this podcast. And, you know, like it's just something that, like, you know, when an older sibling or someone that you look up to tells you something is cool, you know, there's like times in your life where you're like not receptive to that, but then eventually there's something that like gives where you're like, and also there's this connection to it too. Like, it's also like, it's not just, I think it's cool. Like, it's been generationally cool in my family, you know?
Yeah. Like once he started, like once, you know, I really got into the Den, got like super obsessed, was like going on archive.org, downloading all the shows and like really right. Just nerding out. And he would, you know, tell me his stories of seeing him like in 89 or 87 at Anaheim Stadium, you know, that it was a Dylan and the Dead, like their thing in the 80s. And he told me he left early from that show.
Unbelievable.
And like, yeah. And, you know, it's like, that's already unbelievable to leave a Dead show early. What he missed was the encore of Knocking on Heaven's Door and Touch of Grey.
Like, yeah.
Like, dude.
With Bob Dylan.
Oh, and Watchtower, all along the Watchtower.
Yeah.
It was those three songs.
It's like, almost dude. Like you weren't even there, dude. Like we we pretty much had the same experience. We've just listened to it on the record. You know, you never even heard
that chair that you always shit that you used to shit talk me. That chair saw more of that show than you did.
Exactly. Now, yeah, that was like one time, you know, my grandpa's telling me a story about how he left a Beatles concert early. Like, he was at like Dodger Stadium seeing the Beatles, and he's like, and we left early. Like, you could barely hear him. I'm like, what the, what? You left the Beatles early? It's the Beatles. Like, ah.
Yeah, it's like that one, as sacrilegious as that is, apparently those Beatles concerts in the 60s, they would run the concert sound through the stadium PA, like the crappy 60s yeah. stadium PA. Can't imagine right. how bad those sounded. And with all the...
just like tinny, terrible, awful, thin sound.
No bass just at like, all.
Wow, the Beatles.
The greatest rock band of all time.
All the guitars kind of just like blend into one, like kind of ching chingy guitar. Ching chang chang. Wow, the Beatles. Do you have speaking of bad concerts, do you have a worst show that you ever saw?
Yeah, so it's like kind of a tie. It was I guess that counts as the same because it was the same year of Coachella. Mm. But I think it was like 2016. Jack White was the Saturday headliner, and the way like they did the schedule that night was Jack White was playing like from 9 to 11, and The Weeknd, who wasn't a headliner, was playing after Jack White at like 11:30 or whatever. So this is like, you know, 2016, very early in The Weeknd's career. I haven't, you know, he hasn't gotten to the point where me as a 17-year-old could listen to his music and go, oh, there's actually something here. It was my anti-popular music sentiment right. immediately kicked in. So anyway, Jack White, like, he's, you know, his set's awesome. He's, you know, because it's fucking Jack White. Yeah. He's playing away. And then before he goes into Seven Nation Army, he's like, hey, this is the last time I'm going to be playing this song for a little while. I'm going to go on like a little hiatus, take a little break from performing. So this is the last electric Seven Nation Army for a decent, like a long time. And so, you know, all the people who were there to see that, they were like, okay, this is fucking awesome. Like, it's time to rage. Like, but half of that crowd was there specifically to see The Weeknd. They didn't care about Jack White. They didn't care about any of that crap. All they were doing during Seven Nation Army was pushing their way to the front, pushing people out of the way and talking.
Man. Ugh.
Like,
and that's the thing about a festival. And I've never done Coachella because actually, you know, not to put down Coachella, but a lot of the accounts from buddies who I know who have gone have been like, you know, wasn't my favorite time seeing XYZ person, or I really went to go see XYZ person and it didn't end up scratching the itch. Because it's like at a festival set, you can either, you know, maybe you're in a crowd of people who are like clearly not part of that fan base, but then they like get it and have a good time. But that's like way few and far between, you know, compared to like the experience that you just described, you know.
Oh, definitely. And Coachella has gotten a lot worse since that incident too, because it's the like clout level of going to Coachella and all that crap. Like, it has totally become less of about the music. The festival has become less about the music and more about the clout. Ooh, look at my outfit. Ooh, look, I was here with this group of people. Like, look at me.
And also just a lot of brands there, like making sure that they're seen. Like, look, Google is showing off the new Pixel, whatever the fuck. And it's like, you know, it's weird. It takes away from, it's weird to have that there.
Oh, yeah. And the funniest things about those booths, like those new product, what they make people wait in line for those. And like,
yeah,
you go there, like you walk by it at the, you know, like a peak time, like 5, 6, 7 p.m. And there's like fucking 100 people in line. It's like, dude, you paid like $500 just for the ticket to be here, and you're spending at least $1,000 on your hotel, and you are going to spend an hour of your time at this festival waiting in line to go
for the VR?
Yeah, for the VR, like to get some like half-assed experience. Like,
it makes it feel like it's a trade show too, and like for like businesses to get their thing out, and you're like not there to see music and like meet new people and you know, have like, maybe there's like artists there. You can sell stuff at a festival. That's not wrong. But it's like, does Microsoft need to fucking be here? Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
It does HP really need a booth?
I don't think I need to hear what they have to say right now. I'm kind of on mushrooms. And so, yeah, I'm good.
And it's not the dog on the festival. Like, I've been going every year since 2009. I love it. I will still keep going every year. And
wow, that's like, a run. That's a quite a run, dude.
Paul McCartney, 2009. That was the first one. Me, my dad, and my mom. Every year since then, it's been me and my dad. There's been a couple years when my brother has come with us, but recently he's bowed out of that. He's not quite as adventurous when it comes to like discovering or like going to see a band that, you know, he's never heard a single song from. It's
well, and it's hard to keep stuff that gets bigger cool, you know. It's like hard to, like, Lollapalooza has turned that way as well, like in some aspects, you know. Like, it's just I feel like they do a little bit better job of like keeping it like how it's always been, and like it's about the music and stuff like that. But as things just get bigger, it's just hard to keep it, you know.
Yeah,
not lame.
Lollapalooza has definitely done a better job of staying true to their roots than Coachella, because they still, you know, at least feel the need to book a few guitar based bands. Coachella, like, if, you know, next year the lineup had no guitar based bands, I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess it had to happen sometime. Because every year, just, you know, the list of guitar music just gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
And yeah, and it's like, it doesn't have to be exclusive in that way. And like, you're appealing to a wider audience the more different types of music you have on there. And maybe some of your audience hasn't heard of some of these bands, and maybe the people who are going to see those bands haven't heard of some of these DJs. But like, you know, I've brought it up a lot on this podcast that Cascade Equinox Festival was kind of split right down the middle, like DJs and guitar based, you know, some of them being jam bands. And like, dude, I mean, really cool crowds to be in. Like, there are people there for Pretty Lights, and there are people there for Goose, very clearly. And throughout the weekend, that crowd is mingling. And then by Sunday, when it's the Goose show, it's like, you know, there's clearly people there that are not there to see Goose that are like having a really good time. And it made the vibe even better. And but then again, like, this is the first year of that festival, and it was like small as hell, you know. It's not nearly Bonnaroo or Coachella or anything like that. And so, but
no, what you were talking
about,
it
didn't take away from the experience. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, that is like thing you talked about there, you know, people enjoying a band that they didn't necessarily come there to see. That is why I go to music festivals. It's just, you know, to be wowed by, have an experience that I never would have had otherwise, never would have even known, you know, to have, you know. Just like, I love getting just pleasantly surprised by new experiences.
Yeah, man. And yeah, it's cool to leave a show and be like, oh man, I wish I knew more of that music, and I'm gonna look it up now. And then you're listening to it and you're like, fuck, I wish I knew these songs while I was at that show, because it was so awesome. Yeah, that's a great feeling to have. With that in mind, do you have, you know, maybe not your best show ever, but honorable mention shows that you would be just remiss if you didn't bring them up on this podcast?
Oh, definitely. So this is another Coachella one. Not a band I'm so much into anymore, but at the time it was just very musically meaningful to me. Motorhead played Coachella in 2015.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was like starting my metal phase and everything, and I'm like, oh, I want to be up front, like I want to be close, you know. So I got a spot front and center, like on the rail for that show. And the whole show, you know, the whole show's awesome, having a great time, whatever. Then they leave for the encore break. They come back out on stage with motherfucking Slash.
Oh my God. Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It's a place just going nuts.
All the 150 people that were in the tent at that time,
we're going only 150 people.
It was probably more than that, but there was fucking nobody there for that show. It was so sad.
Well, that makes it kind of cool. That makes it even cooler.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. It's, you know, it's like, oh, nobody going to this festival knows about this. Like, this is top notch. Like, these guys are legendary, and there's, you know, 200 people here. Oh, well, like, but yeah, everybody, like, I was, you know, in the front row, there were probably like 15 other people around me just going crazy and going nuts. And it was fun. There was still enough people for a mosh pit though. So that,
yeah, it's all that matters. Oh, do yeah. So you are a guy who goes nuts at shows. I love being next to you at shows. You'll be throwing up horns. You'll be screaming out. Like, you sing the songs, you dance, you like, are a guy that gives a lot back to the band. Do you feel like you do that more like in a smaller setting when it's like less people, or like, you know, when do you feel like you're still able to do that when you're at like Oracle Park in San Francisco and like it's a ton of people, you know?
Yeah, it could be a venue with 15 people in it. It could be a venue with 150,000 people in it. I am raging that exact same amount that you saw me rage at those like small shows. Like, you should have seen me in the back corner of the mothership during Goosemas. Like, me, Mike Morosky.
I have a video of you. Specifically, I mean, people are probably like watching me like, why is this guy taking a video of the floor? I'm like, because my buddy Brett's going crazy in the back right now, like behind the soundboard.
Oh no, this was night one. I was like up in the freaking nosebleeds, like way in the back corner, and still like what? That same energy you saw night two, just, you know.
Yeah. You know, Jess loves looking over and seeing you at a show, especially like, I mean, it's fun when we're standing next to each other and we're having a blast, but like it's almost more fun to be like kind of across the venue from you, because for those of you who don't know Brett, he's also a very tall guy.
6'6".
He's 6'6". Yeah, thank you for saying it. I list everybody's height in the beginning of their episodes. Their height and their weight and their bank account, how much money they have. But he, yeah, and so you can see him in a crowd, and like it's so funny to look over, especially like it'll be like the beginning of a song that you know builds or something that like maybe starts off a little slower and you're like, fuck yeah. Yeah.
I've started to re-listen to more of the like boards from Goose shows that I was at and was standing too close to the crowd microphone. And there are a lot more of my woos than I want to hear.
It's good that you have shame around it, because there's people who love that shit. Oh. There's people who like, there's this, you know, I was standing next to someone at a Fish show who yelled out like, I fucking love you, Paige, like at the beginning of the show. And then they're on the fucking recording and they made sure that people knew about it. They're like, I'm like, that's not cool. Don't tell people.
Yeah, you don't.
It is cool, but not if you're trying to be heard.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're doing it specifically so you show up on the board and like you could show people, ooh, look at me, show. It's like, come on. If it happens naturally and then you go, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't woo so loud next to the crowd mic.
You're someone who is clearly doing it for the band. Like, if anyone who's been to a show with you knows that like you are doing that so like the band gets something out of it, you know. It's not so that you're like on. Dude, if you like rewind to 6 minutes and 19 seconds, you can hear me in the silence. That's me. That's me right there. That's me right there.
It was funny. Like, I was doing a commentary for a show that's going to air on WTED, and it was the Resonance night one. And like, I mentioned like in my commentary, like, yeah, like, the 10-minute mark, if you're wearing headphones, you're probably going to hear me. So, sorry about that.
And you're welcome as well.
Yeah.
Do you have any other honorable mention shows?
Probably, I mean, Goosemas Night Zero, man. Like, that was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. That was such a great night.
Yeah, that, you know, there was good music, but the comedy was even better.
I kind of felt like he was a hack, to be honest. I felt like he's better on Instagram.
Did someone actually say that to you?
No, there. I mean, you know, there's always in person, but there was some guy on Twitter who's like, you know, I heard about your set and it sucked, and I just wanted to be like, I haven't heard about your set, dude. So.
Yeah, did you go up in front of an audience and do that? Like, no, I didn't think so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And, like, that was so much more about, like, everyone hanging out, like, meeting up before the show, like, all of the different people from Goose Twitter, like, finally getting to say hey, or, like, meeting up after not seeing each other for a long time. And then I'm just up there barking at them, you know? Do you guys ever think about when... at shows, it's funny to be, and everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
The guy who keeps doing bits at shows.
And then what if, so we could do like, everyone's just like, shut the fuck up.
My cousins just walked into the room. So if you hear scuffling and stuff, that's them.
What's up, guys?
This is Cam. This is my cousins, Jacob and Zachary.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? We'll get to them in a second. We'll get their best shows ever, too.
Yeah.
That's going to be a long episode. We're going to do your whole family.
A three-parter.
But
you have no idea what you signed up for when you asked me to interview.
These people have seen a lot of shows. Well, with that, I mean, like, what is the best show that you've ever seen in your life?
So the best show I've ever seen, if you, you know, perfectly calculate the experience and the music, it was when I saw Slayer's last show ever at the Forum.
Man.
In 2018.
Wow. Wow. That's sick. I love shows at the Forum. Man. So what was that? So was that something that you like were looking out for? You bought the tickets well in advance for, or no?
No. So the circumstances surrounding the show are even more ridiculous. So I had I think it was 2018. So I had become like a debt. It was either 2018, 2019. I don't know. One of those years. But I was like kind of full on in my like classic rock jam, like phase, whatever. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'd like to go to this show, but like tickets are kind of expensive and I'm already kind of doing something today. So I'm just not going to bother. So I'm in Upland, California at my grandparents' house, and I get like a call at like 3:45 from my buddy who is the nephew of the bass player and singer of Slayer. And he's like, hey, Brett, how's it going? I'm like, hey, Michael, what's up? How you doing, man? He's like, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, I don't really have any plans. Like, what, you know, what's up? He's like, do you want to go to the Slayer show tonight? I got an extra ticket for you. Somebody bailed. I was like, okay, yes, done. Let's do it. So because, you know, the way he like was, you know, describing this to me, like saying I have an extra ticket, somebody bailed. I'm thinking, okay, he's just, you know, give me like, you know, it's just a nosebleed. Like one, you know, they probably got a big section of tickets that they got to give away for free for the family. And so, you know, I pull up, I park, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a little mushrooms for this show. Like, why not?
Sure. You know, yeah, why not? Fun. Might as well.
And so then I walk into the, you know, the venue and I'm like, I meet his mom outside to get the ticket and stuff. She's like, oh, hey, Brett, here's your ticket. Here's your Forum Club wristband. Here's your backstage pass.
Oh,
here's your backstage pass.
Oh. Okay.
And like this was a whole ass event. Like there, you know, there were a ton of celebrities there in the Forum Club, like, you know, I wrote some down. Like Bill Burr was there, Post Malone, Jason Momoa, wow. Scott Ian from Anthrax, like, you know, just so many like cool people. And I'm getting like the worst come up anxiety, just like in the Forum Club. And it's just like all these celebrities.
Like, this isn't supposed to happen tonight. Actually, not tonight.
But, you know, it all, of course, ended up being fine. I went out, like, I think Primus and a couple other bands were opening. But Primus was the one band I, like, went outside to go, you know, experience their stuff. And I was there for, like, 15 minutes, and it was, like, just freaking me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't
super familiar with Primus to begin with, and I was not what I was expecting.
And they're so tight, like, it could make you sick to your stomach. Like, I've seen Primus close, and, like, yeah, there's just, like, this the little space they create in between things and, like, how tight they are. And they're just obviously weird as fuck. It's just, like, it's a physical listening experience. I can hear that. I can feel that being not cool during a trip.
Oh, yeah. And, like, this was early in my, like, tripping days, too. So I had barely any experience. I hadn't, like, really delved into, like, funk and, like, listening to, you know, crazy jam stuff. So, you know, that freaked me out. But then, you know, once Slayer went on, everything was cool. I had
they chilled everything out.
Yeah. Once I knew every note of every song being played.
That is true. It is comforting to, like, you know, if you're in that situation, you know, and you're like listening to a song that you don't know, like in the middle of a fish show that'll happen, you'll just be like, what song is this? And you're like, I need something that I know. Right now.
I need to grasp onto reality somehow.
Yeah.
But my seat for that show, I ended up, like, the way they did the forum was they had a section of, like, general admission in the front, just standing room. And then behind that was a bunch of seats, and then another GA behind that. Oh no, it was more seats. Anyway, I had my seat was right in the front of, like, that seated section. So I had a rail spot, but it was, you know, very far back, but it was still, like, I had my own thing to hang on, jump on, you know, just had my own little dancing space, and nobody was getting bugged or anything like that. Everyone around me was cool. There was this, like, during the fourth song, this random dude came up and gave me this, like, big old hug, because he was like, dude, your energy is amazing.
That's awesome.
Because I was, like, raging as hard as I do for everything. And and then the second half of this show, this one dude who I could have sworn was the reincarnation of Brent Midland, gave me a pen rip from his blue Stizzy battery. And that was fun.
I was going to say, was it Stizzy stuff or was it?
No, it was legit Stizzy. It was nice.
Hell yeah. You gotta love that.
Oh yeah. But then, you know, show ended. It was awesome. I, you know, decided, okay, I'm just gonna hang backstage for the next 3 or 4 hours until I'm good to drive. And of course, that was the idea that most other people there had too. So there's still a bunch of celebrities hanging backstage, and I'm like, I'm in Tom Araya's dressing room hanging out with Les Claypool and, like,
my God, dude.
I'm talking to Les Claypool about, like, the Kaler tremolo that he puts on his bass and stuff. Like,
wow. Wow.
And then at one point, Gary Holt, who's the guitar player of Exodus, and also he was, like, joined Slayer after one of their guitar players died, he rolls in there. Looking back on it, this was his last stand before he went sober.
Yeah.
So he comes in there with not the, like, fifth size bottle of Bombay Sapphire, a full handle of Bombay Sapphire. And it's, like, unopened. He's like, we are fucking killing this tonight.
You're like, oh, well, I have to actually have to drive.
I took, like, a little baby sip that I could. Like,
let's fucking go.
Yeah, but, like, that backstage was crazy. Like, there was they had these, like, taps of Jägermeister where you would put, like, four bottles into it upside down, and it would, like, you know, it was the most absurd thing ever. They had a Jägermeister ice sculpture back there with, like, the logo, and, you know, it was ridiculous.
And you just had no time to prepare for that. It's not like you like knew months in advance, like, oh man, I'm going to be backstage. Like, I wonder who I'm going to meet and talk to. Like, you just found that out as you roll in, which yeah. makes it way crazier, you know.
Found it out as I'm rolling in, as the mushrooms are kicking in.
You're like, okay. We're going to learn a lot about myself tonight. Yeah. About what I can handle. You got to like talk to Jason Momoa a little bit. You're like, hey man, I'm not like feeling so well. Can you just hold me?
So I met him after the show, got a picture with him. He was cool. He was only like 2 or 3 inches taller than me. So that's, you know, the nice little.
So play. Fucking, I could kick his ass pretty much.
But I also met Kirk Hammett. But when wow. I met him, I didn't like go up to him, say hi to him, because he was freaking out like way worse than I was freaking out in the beginning of the night. Like he just wow. had that look in his eyes, and I just kind of looked at him and nodded at him, and he like nodded back, and I was like, all right, that's my Kirk Hammett moment.
What a, I mean, just a bunch of legends, dude. Like, and that's like, you know, is that the metal that you're into? Like, are you listening to more like Megadeth and Metallica and, you know, Slayer and like kind of the golden era of metal, or do you have stuff right now that you're super into?
Mostly when I go back to metal now, like it's the golden era stuff. There's like a couple bands, like contemporary bands who I really liked. Like this one band, Warbringer, I was really into in high school.
Yeah.
They're fucking awesome. One time I drove out to Ventura to go see one of their shows. I was 19 and it was at a 21 and over. It was at like a bar. And so I got there like 6 hours before the show started, right when their vans got there. And I was like, hey, I'm like 19 and I really want to see you guys do this show because you're playing this one album start to finish. So like, can I like take a couple guitars in for you guys and just like stay there? And they're like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, do it. I carried in 2 guitar cases. And they're like, do not leave. And I was like, okay, perfect.
Where the hell am I going?
Yeah. Once they like opened up the bar for the concert and we saw what the marks that the bouncer was making on people's wrists, like they got the Sharpie and made the same like mark on my wrist and stuff.
Wow.
They're like, don't push it. Don't go try like buy a beer or anything. Just, you know, just stay here. It worked out.
That's so sick. That's, yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to go do stuff. You feel like, oh, there's no way I can get in. There's a way. There's exactly. a way you can go. Of course you can.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the Sphere. They've got AI robots that can, that kind of weeds out a lot of the coolness. They're not really that chill.
Yeah. God, I can't imagine what the scene is going to be like for 4 Fish shows.
Yeah. It's going to be nuts.
Those poor Vegas, dickhead Vegas security guards are going to have a day.
I mean, listen, it's crazy in Vegas every day. And Fish, you know, Fish runs in Vegas have happened before, but I've never gone. And so I'm pretty stoked to get out there.
What they like tickets for?
So the Niche has tickets for Saturday.
Okay.
And he has blessed me with one of those tickets. And so, yeah, man, we're going to be doing that. You have not seen Fish yet, so you're not going to be going to the Sphere.
Still have not seen Fish, yeah.
That'd be I'm saying this to you. You can't do that for your first show. I'm going to gatekeep you live right now on the podcast. You cannot. You got to wait until another date pops up.
Everyone come see the violence inherent in the system. I'm being repressed.
That's right. I just do it live on the podcast face to face. I don't do it on Twitter. I do it right. Do you, as someone who's not gone to Fish shows yet, do you have interest in going to the festival? Is that something that appeals to you or?
Oh yeah. I mean, any festival is always going to be a worthwhile experience. When is that? It's like August.
Yeah. Middle of August. And like, you know, we have a lot of Fish fans on this podcast. We're going to be talking about it and talking about Game Engine stuff. But, yeah, I wonder if that's the type of thing that like pulls in people who haven't really been into Fish. Cause like, that's what the Baker's Dozen did in 2017. It like pulled in got me back into them, you know, and got a lot of people listening to them again. I don't know. This was like, also, yeah, you should just come to it. Is what I'm trying to say.
I should have gone to one of those Hollywood Bowl shows. I like looking back, I can't believe I like missed on those, because I could have gotten in the door for $8 and sat wherever the hell I wanted. And like,
yeah, it was crazy that you could get. I've never seen Phish tickets so cheap, and it's such a historic, amazing venue. And it's not like that. I mean, it's huge. It's a really. It's like 18,000 whatever seats, but it's not like 40.
Yeah, like they sell out like SPAC, and you know, like SPAC is bigger than the Hollywood Bowl. You know, it's like MSG, I think close to the same, like close to the similar numbers as the Hollywood Bowl, and they sell that out a billion times. It's like just crazy the difference in West Coast eagerness to go see jam bands versus East Coast eagerness. Like,
yeah, dude, it's a very different scene, but it's nice for you guys like you and me, because then we get tickets for cheap and face pretty much everything for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything jam related.
Being able to buy Daniel Donato tickets a week before the show.
Yeah. But or you can be like me. I fucked up. Yeah. Because I'm trained now. I'm like, you can just get tickets the day of if you want to for fucking Phish. You know, or Goose, or like, you know, I saw Goose for $12 in San Diego. That's fucking, that's insane. In Chicago, it'd be like $300, you know?
Yeah, when I bought my brother a ticket for Goose in San Diego, like, it was cheaper for me to buy two of them than it was for me to buy one of them. Explain the fucking logic there.
Yeah, I don't know, but I would love to see the jam scene grow out here. I also don't mind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, it's like one of those things. There's pros and cons on both sides. It's like, yeah, I want more jam fans in LA, but I don't want more jam fans in LA.
Right. Right. Do you have any shows coming up towards the end of, or towards the beginning of the year here that you're stoked on, or anything coming up that you're getting psyched for?
Yeah. So I think mid-February, like the 15th or something like that, I'm going to see Government Mule with one of my old like lawyer coworkers at the farm I used to work at. It's cool. Like, he's about my dad's age, and we would talk like every day. And he was like, we were very sarcastic with each other. Like, he would greet me, like I'd walk into his office and go, "Oh, hey, douchebag." Like that, you know.
So cool coworker.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be like me and like his son and him, and we got like front row of the balcony at the Wiltern. So that'll be
wow.
Yeah, right where the sound is good. And
I still have not seen Warren Haynes, and yeah, he's one of the ones you got to see. You got to tick that box.
I still have not ticked that box either, so I'm very excited too.
Sick. Very sick, dude. Well, we'll also be seeing some shows together this year, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. Can't
wait,
buddy.
I'm also trying to go to Northlands.
Oh, yeah. I could do Northlands.
Yeah.
What about that, that like, festival that's going on in Redondo Beach that's got, like, Seal and, like, Trey and, like...
Where the Sunday is My Morning Jacket, Trey, or Classic Tab, and, like...
Sugar Ray.
Yeah, like
they do a Sugar Tray set.
I think Tito Puente Jr. is also on that day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that my dad sent me that lineup, and I was like, "This is a single day. Like, let's do it." We bought tickets. We actually bought tickets at the Daniel Donato show.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't buy tickets yet because I'm like, I wonder who's going to be going to this. But fuck yeah, I'm in now.
If you go Sunday, I'll be there. We only got the one day thing because I think the one day pass was still pretty expensive. It was like $140 or $150. But like still to see My Morning Jacket and Classic Tab for like that price, like that, done.
Hey, even a massive Trey hater like you is going to jump on that.
Yes.
But that was my conversation with Brett Duncan. Great guy. Funny dude. Just hilarious situation to have found yourself in. Like that, that's the Slayer show to end all Slayer shows. That's like the their final show ever. And he got truly the best experience possible with the Forum Club wristband and the backstage passes and the hanging out next to Jason Momoa, talking to Les Claypool. I mean, kind of hard to beat that if you're a Slayer fan. Even if you're not, it's like, damn. Brett's a good dude. Look out for Brett on Twitter. Look out for Brett if you're in Southern California seeing shows, especially in the jam band scene. Brett is around. I'll probably be standing right next to him. So look out for us at shows in SoCal. Obviously that we have two episodes out this week. We do two episodes every week. The other episode we have out, if you're a Goose fan, it's a good one. It's with Rick Mataratunda and Peter Anspach from Goose. I chat with those boys about the sort of the beginning of their relationship with Cotter Ellis, their new drummer, and sort of the future of what they've got going on over in Gooseland. Also, we talk about their favorite shows ever. That's what the podcast is about. And so chat with those boys about those shows. We've got even more footage with them, even more content with them on the Patreon, little bonus clip. If you're not a member of the Patreon yet, I've just got one tier on there for membership. It's a $4 membership that gives you access to the episodes every week, a day early on Monday instead of Tuesday. It gives you access to the bonus clips that I've been posting. I've got one with Andrew Sachs from last week, who did all the art for this season. And I've got one this week with Rick and Peter, if you want some more Rick and Peter content. I'm going to post full episodes behind there, too, that won't be released. I'm going to post more bonus clips, and I'm also going to post potentially some exclusive merch on there for members to have access to first before everybody else. So go ahead and become a member to that. Listen to the other episode that we've got out this week with Rick and Peter. And until next week, folks, have a great show.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one hit thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
The number you have reached is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
Yeah! Down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.